Welcome, everybody, to shareenjoyment.com, to the nightly share. Thank you all for joining. Right before the share, Jake asked me for a title. I think my script is that I'm unscripted, so I have no idea what the title will be because I have no idea what I plan on speaking about until I start speaking. So I was just thinking now about the Parsha thoughts over Shabbos, that this week's Parsha is a very complex Parsha. It starts off with the Parah Adumah, which is, again, a very difficult level of understanding. Even Shlomo HaMelech had said, he rechoka mimeni, that is very distant from me to understand, and he was the smartest person I ever lived, how the ashes of the Parah Adumah enable the person who is Tameh to become Tahar, but yet the person who is Tahar becomes Tameh, and then the whole purification process that follows. We also have the death of Miriam. We have the death of Aaron. We have the Mei Mariva, and we have the war with Sichon and Og, which is really like the lead-in to next week's parsha with Balak, Vayar Balak ben Zippor. He saw that he was unable to defeat Klal Yisrael through battle, because if Sichon and Og can't do it, then who in the world can? In fact, just coming attractions, you know, Balak believed that he wasn't even that much of a king, because when he saw how Sichon and Og trembled before Klal Yisrael, that gave him pause. And Balak is also Rosh Tevos, Bracha lo klala. So it's amazing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running what comes out of a person's mouth. And we see that much like in Parshas Chukas, so much of what comes out of a person's mouth is reflected in Sefer Bamidbar. As we said before, Bamidbar is Bamidaber. The Mei Mariva is one topic I wanted to just briefly focus on. The Kedushas Levi brings down the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer fit for leadership and not able to go into Eretz Yisrael as a result of the Mei Mariva, is because he opened up by saying, Shimu no hamorim, listen, you rebels, Hamin asala azay yatsumayim, that from this rock will come out water. And then he hit the rock. So the question is, what exactly is going on over here? Why is this such a catastrophic event? Why is it that hitting the rock is so problematic? And what can we learn from the rock, the word Sela itself, that teaches us that there's actually water in there? No one would think that there's water inside of a rock. But Chazal say that the word Sela is actually three letters, and it's spelled up in Miloy, Samach, Lamed, Ayin, Sela. And if you take the middle letter of the Miloy of Samach, is Samach Mem Chav Sofis, that's a Mem. If you take the middle letter of Lamed, is Lamed, Mem, Dalet. Again, the middle letter is Mem. And if you take the middle letter of Ayin, which is Ayin, Yud, Nun Sofis, you have a Yud over there in the middle. So if you take the Mem, Mem, and Yud, you end up with Mayim. So Min Hasel, Hamin Hazel Hazel, Yatu Mayim. In fact, there was going to be water that was going to come out of this rock. Because within the word Sela itself, the Miloy, we see that there is Mayim. Great. Now that we know that there's water, how do we extract the water? So Moshe Rabbeinu's Koach is through Tefillah. In fact, you know, we think back at Moshe Rabbeinu's origin. He was saved through water. He was named by Batya, not by his parents. The greatest event that Moshe Rabbeinu had was Kriyas Yamsuf, again with water. He met his wife at the well, again another instance of water. And the undoing of Moshe was with the Mei Mariva by hitting the rock. So the Kedushas Levi brings down that speaking the way he spoke out of frustration leads to action, which also is catastrophic, an event that he struck the rock. Why was that cause and effect? Because if you start with negativity, you follow with further levels of negativity. And there is another way of bringing people back, so to speak, into the fold, and that is through positive reproachment. You're a good person. This is really a one-off for you. I understand you're frustrated. There are ways that we can deal with this. Let's talk it out. Let's understand exactly what's troubling you. Why is it that the Erev Rav is coming at me at this time? There are ways to focus. But when Moshe Rabbeinu lost his cool, that demonstrated that the measurement of leadership had transferred over to the next generation, which is Yehoshua. Yehoshua is the one that will be Kovesh Eretz Yisrael. Through conquering the land itself, he'll have the battle of Ai, he'll have the battle against the 31 kings, he'll have Yericho, he'll have all of these episodes in his journey, but they will be met not in the same way as Moshe Rabbeinu, they will be met and accomplished through asiya, through action. So Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole life was dedicated to Klal Yisrael, not through action. We ask ourselves, Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Mitzri and he kills the Mitzri. So there's three explanations in the Medrash Rabbah. One is that he said the Shem HaMefarash. The second is that he used his hands. The third is that he picked up a weapon, perhaps a shovel. It could be that he did all three, but most explained that it was through the Dibor itself. He said the Shem HaMefarash, and that was enough because he knew that everything is going to come through his mouth. That's the reason why he wasn't be able to be Yonek from a Mitzri. He wasn't be able to be nursed by an Egyptian woman because he was destined to speak Peah Petzach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Much like we also have requirements of kosher, non-kosher, because we also have that functionality, that capability of speaking mouth-to-mouth, so to speak, to Hashem. So there's a level. And then it comes back down to the Mei Meriva, right? So the Mei Meriva is waters of disagreement. And once a person goes past that threshold, then there's no coming back. And that proved that Moshe Rabbeinu is, as they say in French, his fait accompli, right? His final moment or his judgmental moment. So that's a brief understanding as to the Mei Meriva. Well, that's an understanding as to why he was not able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And there's a time and a place for everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu's time was, so to speak, no longer there to fit the role of leadership. Just wanted to just focus on the patira of Miriam and Aaron for a quick moment before we conclude. And trust me, there's so much to say. But, with regard to Miriam, her undoing was such an infraction of the slightest degree, you would think, that it wouldn't really measure up in today's terms to something that would qualify even Saras, right? What does she say? She said that Moshe Rabbeinu is spending so much time in communion with Hashem. When does he have time for his family? That's a rational argument, but it's one that comes from a sister who loves a younger brother. Remember, Miriam was the one who chastised her father, Amram, and said that, Amram, dear father, you may be the leader of the tribe of Levi, which is the most powerful of all the tribes at the time, and perhaps even today, because they say that the Sfarim that come into this world are people that descend from Sheva Levi. They constantly are teaching Klal Yisrael Torah throughout the generations, throughout thousands of years. And you, Amram, divorce your wife. And what did people do when they saw this happen? They divorced their wives. So she said to her father, who was recorded in the Gemara as one of the four people that never sinned, that you're worse than Paro. Amazing that she said these words. And she said it with love. She said, how could you do this? Paro was Gozal's harem, but by you divorcing your wife and by everyone doing the same, where is the future? And so when Amram remarried, listened to his five-year-old daughter, remarried, and with Yocheved, they had Moshe Rabbeinu. It was also the same Miriam who watched carefully from a distance to make sure that when Moshe was floating down the Nile River in a small little basket of weaves that were woven together hastily by herself and by her mother, that he would be cared for. In fact, when none of the Mitzri women were able to nurse this child, she was the one who recommended that she knows someone who can do it. And she was the one who brought Moshe back to his mother. This is the same Miriam that brought us the Be'er Mayim Chayim that led to the circumstances of the Mei Meriva. This is a beloved Miriam who had the tenacity and the foresight, as Nashim Sekaniyos always have, to remind herself to bring Tof V'chinar, to bring musical instruments so that they can celebrate after Kriyas Yamsov. This was a Miriam who was a leader among the generation and among all the women of our time. Aaron HaKohen was the one who was able to make shalom between parties. Two business partners go into business and they don't know how to manage books, or they don't know how to do their bookkeeping, and the other one is a good negotiator. So they both think that they can equally do the same job. No, Aaron said, the reason why you're in business is because you're good at one, and the other, you do the front office, the other one does the back office, and you'll make the business work. Same thing with marriage. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, can't get along, they never were, together before, and all of a sudden, they have to learn to coexist together as one unit. How is that supposed to happen? So Aaron HaKohen gave understanding to the men and gave a little bit of understanding to the women that they should be patient with the men and vice versa. And that's how all the marriages were able to succeed and all the business was able to succeed. And that's the reason why when Aaron, who merited the Jewish people with the Anani HaKavod, when he passed, all of the Jewish people came out, not just some, everyone. Every single person was touched by Aaron HaKohen. So when we think about, then Moshe Rabbeinu brought us the man. We think about people that are in our lives. And sometimes I remember when Moshe Feinstein was alive, everyone would say, oh, Das Yachid from the Lower East Side. You know, he said things are mutter, and everyone else thinks that things are usser. There's a Gemara in Be'a, da Be'zama Be'z, the Bay Amar, Korach Te'er Adav, or was it Rabba? Korach Te'er Adav, that the one who says that something's mutter is greater, because anyone can say something is usser, but it takes a great wise person to find the kula. And as the saying goes, I remember this as a little kid growing up, to every chumra there's a kula, and to every kula there's a chumra. To every stringency, there's a leniency, and every leniency, there's a stringency. It all depends on how you ask the question. So I wanted to just conclude with the semblance of understanding that we don't appreciate those that surround us until we have to say a shloshim and say a yahrzeit and say and make a suda and have a recollection of the great people of yesteryear. The fact is that we have great people that surround us today, much like we did yesteryear, but we should also take advantage of not just praising those that are no longer with us, but cherishing and praising those that are with us today. And that means calling up a sibling, calling up a friend, calling up a parent, a grandparent, whichever one it is, and just telling them how much you appreciate them, how much you love them, how much they mean to you, and how instrumental their role is in your development, in your life. And that will make a world of difference. You'll see, you will feel better. They will feel better. It's really an appreciation week. So I think that the messaging over here is that we just have to appreciate so much more than what we currently do. And in that schus, we will see brachas ad bli dai. We will see that the things that we had, that we no longer had in terms of the Be'er Mayim Chaim, in terms of the Anani HaKavod, in terms of the Man, all these things are amazing when they were happening, but people didn't really appreciate the fact that they had a running water until they didn't have it. Then they complained about the water, and that led to other catastrophic circumstances. People didn't appreciate the Anani HaKavod so much because it was always there. But we understand that after time and we've matured, we appreciate these things. That's really how we bring everything into motion, how we bring everything forward so that we can fully engage and appreciate those around us. I want to wish everyone bracha v'atzlacha. Apologies for starting a few minutes late. And thank you all for joining us tonight.